This is Hackberry House of Chosun, sermonaudio.com. My name is Bob, and today we do part four of the Mary Lothrop series, Memoir of Mary Lothrop, who died in Boston, March 18, 1831, aged 6 years and 3 months. I just read to you the title of that book, an old, old book back in the 1800s, and I trust that you're being blessed by it. Well, after the incident of yesterday with Caesar, the mother had to be absent, and when she got back, she inquired how Mary had been, and the little girl that was watching her said, "Very pleasant." And hearing that a man had been playing upon an organ in the street, she asked if it amused Mary. And the girl replied, and the caretaker replied, she didn't seem to care much about it. But when Mary was alone with her mother, she said, "Mother, how it makes me feel to see that poor man with the organ, and so many people standing around him. And those little black boys, they look so poor and so dirty. I'm afraid they haven't anybody to take care of them and tell them about God and being good. I was going to pray for them when somebody came in and interrupted me." "Well, you can pray for them now," said her mother. So she knelt down and prayed fervently for the man and the people around him and the poor little boys, and her heart seemed full of compassion for them. Being relieved in some degree from this disease, Mary was at length able to go downstairs, and some of her companions came in to visit her. They played about, and Mary, although she was too weak to join in the play, was greatly amused to see them. Once or twice laughed very much. Her mother, knowing that she was feeble, feared the excitement might injure her, and gently cautioned her about laughing. And after her playmates were gone, Mary went to her mother and asked if it was sinful to laugh and to play. Her mother told her no, it was not, and that she was glad to see her so much pleased with the company of her little friends, and that she was told not to laugh only because she was so weak. Mary burst into tears, and she said, "Mother, I'm afraid I'm growing a sinner again." While Mary was recovering, an infant of a friend to whom she was much attached was dangerously ill. Mrs. Lothrop often visited the sick chamber, and when she returned home, Mary would inquire particularly about the sick baby. One evening, Mrs. Lothrop said to her children, "I fear Mrs. A. will be called to part with her dear child. It is very sick, and we do not think it will live through the night." Mary was in bed, but she heard her mother say this, and soon after asked if she might get up. She was then so weak that she needed assistance in leaving the bed. But as soon as she was placed upon the floor, she kneeled down and said, "I want to pray for dear Mrs. A. and her little baby." She then said, "Oh God, will you bless the dear baby? May she not suffer a great deal, but wilt thou take her to heaven very soon? And wilt thou bless her mother? And may she not be too much grieved because thou art going to take her little child to heaven? And wilt thou bless her father now that he is far away? May he not be too much troubled? But remember that thou wilt soon take him to his heavenly home." Mary had anticipated pleasure in being restored to health and going out and associating with children of her own age. But she found so much that was sinful mingled with every pleasure that she was often disappointed and sad. Her mind appeared to have undergone a great change during her sickness. She had enjoyed being with her mother, reading and praying, and she seemed to be fast ripening for a better world, but she was now grieved by the faults of others, and that so few loved to talk upon that subject which gave her the greatest happiness. She would sometimes say of different persons, after she had been told that they were pious, "But they don't seem heavenly." There was a maturity as well as spirituality of mind which was truly surprising. Her feelings, though expressed with all the simplicity of a little child, were like those of an advanced Christian. Before her sickness, she had been in the habit of singing with her sisters and saying her prayers with them morning and evening, and she wished, as soon as she was able, to go back to their chamber and be with them again. But in a day or two, she came to her mother and said, "If I can have my own Bible and hymn book and pray in a chamber alone, that will suit me better." She once said to her sister, weeping as she spoke, "You pray too fast. I cannot hear the name of God repeated so. I do not think God will hear such a prayer." Frequently, when the children were repeating hymns, she would say, "Oh, do not say that solemn verse so fast." Whenever she spoke of God, it was with reverence. And when she mentioned the Savior's name, she would say, the blessed Savior. In July 1830, Mary went with her parents to Bridgewater. And on their return home, it rained, and several circumstances occurred to render the ride unpleasant. Mary was much fatigued, and as she was retiring to rest, her mother said, "My dear, I suppose you will pray after you are in bed tonight?" Mary replied, "I would rather kneel down, and I wish you could stay and pray with me." Her mother, although she had many cares pressing upon her at that moment, remained, and found her own mind calmed and stimulated to gratitude by hearing her child, then not even 6 years old, acknowledge the goodness of God, and instead of being dissatisfied with what was unpleasant, thanking him for making the high hills and the pretty flowers, and that the wind did not blow any harder, and that it did not rain any more. When Mary was about 4 years old, she became quite fond of hearing accounts read of missionaries, and she wished to join the other children in giving something for those who know nothing of God and a better world. She was taught to pray for them and to pity them, and as her mind was interested in serious subjects, and she was led to feel for the souls of others, the heathen world excited her attention, and she was found to possess in a high degree what would be called in older persons a missionary spirit. A little box was kept in the family, into which the children dropped a part of the money that was given them, but Mary was not long satisfied with her small share. About a year before her death, she began in earnest to do something for the heathen. When she felt well, she would be very industrious to gain a cent for this cause, and would urge her sisters to make the same exertions to increase their little sum. If she could get permission to have a small piece of money for her own, she would, unperceived, drop it all into the missionary box. At one time she found some money in the house, and with much animation she said, "Mother, may I have this for my own, to do with what I please?" "Yes," said her mother, intending to propose to have it spent to purchase some useful little articles for herself. But when it was inquired for, Mary said, "Oh, I put it into the missionary box. That was what I wanted it for." Her mother said, "Well, I intended to have bought you a new thimble and some other things with it." "I can use my old thimble," said Mary. "I'd rather give the money to help get Bibles for the poor heathen children." She often expressed the wish that more missionaries would go to teach the heathen, because she feared they would die before they were told about the blessed Savior. At one time when she was sick, her mother told her that two or three missionaries were in town and were going to Burma. Her countenance brightened at once, and she said, "Now, dear mother, you will send something to the poor heathen children. I can spare some of my clothes and my books, too, and I think I shall pray for them as long as I live." She was often heard to pray that the heathen might have houses and clothes and a good minister, and schools such as we have, and the Bible. And she always added, "Wilt thou bless my little brother L. and make him a good missionary?" In August 1830, when several missionaries were about sailing for India, Mary was so much interested and talked of it so constantly that her mother took a carriage and rode with her to the ship to see them embark. On their return home, Mary said, "I think the missionaries must be very happy to go and teach the poor heathen. I am glad so many are going. If God spares my life, I hope I shall be a missionary lady. I have much in my mind that I could tell the heathen about the blessed Savior." Well, not far from this time, being absent from home, she expressed something of this feeling, and a lady said to her, "But do you know how much missionaries sometimes suffer?" And then told her of Mr. Judson's sufferings, Adoniram Judson, that he had a chain fastened around him and was carried to prison and cruelly treated in other ways. "Oh, yes," said Mary. "Mother has read to me about it, but he was just as near heaven then as if he had been here." Mary had a great respect for all ministers of the gospel and seemed to feel that they were highly favored in being allowed to do so much good. She once said to her mother, "How glad I am that you told me they had nothing else to do but to serve God and to make people better." Chapter 5. In October 1830, Mary's health began to decline again. She appeared cheerful most of the time, but seemed to lose strength daily. She would amuse herself a while and be interested in her little sewing work or the children's play, but was soon tired, and nothing like amusement satisfied her mind. One afternoon, when the children were at home from school and were playing in the room, Mrs. L. saw the tears on Mary's face and said, "What's the matter, my dear?" Mary replied, "Something serious came into my mind, and I was going to speak to you, but the children played and laughed, and I couldn't say what I wished to. Can I go into the other room with you?" Her mother knew that she was very feeble, and perceiving a sadness and troubled state of feeling, carried her into another room alone. Mary began to cry again, and said, "Mother, this isn't so pleasant a sickness as the other. I don't feel so happy as I did then. We are not alone as we used to be, and we do not read and pray so much. I wished to come into this chamber for you to pray with me. I feel so sick today that when I try to pray, it goes right out of my mind. I shut my eyes, I tried to pray, but the noise of the children made me forget all that I wanted to say." "You can pray now," said her mother, "but I think you are too weak to kneel." "I feel as if I must kneel down." But in attempting to kneel, she fell over on the floor. And this was the last time she ever attempted to kneel in prayer. It appeared that she was losing the use of her limbs. And even before she was confined to the chamber, she had repeatedly fallen on the floor when walking. Her friends had serious apprehensions that she would never recover. But as her little form was wasting away by disease, her mind seemed to expand, to become purified, and to be preparing rapidly for heaven. Her mother was convinced that retirement was necessary to her happiness, and that her mind required particular attention. She therefore made an arrangement to be alone with Mary a part of every day. This was very gratifying to the little invalid, and she told her feelings to her mother daily with entire freedom. She would often say, "Dear mother, I don't feel as happy as I used to. I'm afraid I haven't a new heart. I think I'm growing wicked again. Do pray for me, that I may know that I have a new heart and be happy." She was at times much depressed, and would weep while talking about her wicked heart and her fears that she was not a true Christian. For 2 or 3 weeks she was in this state of mind. Her pastor visited her frequently, and had several conversations with her about the Savior suffering for the sins of men, and explained the nature of the atoning sacrifice which the Lord Jesus Christ had made. She now saw more clearly than she had done before that however vile and guilty her soul might be, He could purify and save it, and she was led to give up herself more entirely into His hands. She then became tranquil, and was never afterwards known to express fears with regard to her prospects beyond the grave. And she would sometimes say, I think I shall never again fear that I have not a new heart. In November, she lost the use of her limbs so far that she could neither sit or stand alone. She was unable to feed herself. She was never heard to regret that she could not walk, excepting in one instance. On Thanksgiving Day, her brothers and sisters were permitted to be in her chamber. And while she was looking at them and seeing them engaged in play, the mother said, Does the noise trouble you, my dear? Oh, no, mother, she said pleasantly. I love to see them, and I sometimes wish I could play with them. This mild expression pierced the heart of her mother, for she had been looking with tender regret on her helpless little daughter. But checking her own feelings, she said, It does not make you unhappy that you are not able to play with them, does it? You think it's all right? Oh, yes, dear mother. I'm not unhappy. I don't think God deals hardly with me, for he knows that I am sick. And he could make me to be as well as the other children. Well, we will leave them on that Thanksgiving Day. It just so happens that the day that I am recording this today is Thanksgiving Day of 2016 here in the United States. It is good that I could share just a little of this day with you. And I trust that you'll be a blessing to someone else today, too. Check in from time to time at this website, will you? There's so much here that I want to share with you. And I just can't do it all at once, but maybe one thing at a time you could come and just look at some stuff. It's the Hackberry House of Chosun website of sermonaudio.com. I hope to be talking to you again real soon. Bye-bye.